When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Previously on the Simply Human podcast.
Mike, oh, here, he responded.
Uh-oh, hang on.
Oh, my gosh. read it verbatim.
From Jackson, quote. Your rotten egg fart in your parents' house when we were in high school on the fold-out couch.
Dang, I would have just won $1,000.
Oh man, it was, and I didn't at that point I didn't really eat eggs, but man,
there was some sulfur going on.
It's episode 190 of the Simply Human Podcast with your host Mark and two human beings. Being human. Our goal is to help you understand how humans are designed to eat, sleep, move, and enjoy, and how you can start living more like a human today. On today's show, it's Amy Smith.
Amy E. Smith.
Amy Elizabeth Smith. You guess, spoiler alert.
I did guess her middle name. I mean, it wasn't exactly
her middle name. And it's awesome, and we guess her birthday, and we talked to her about a lot of cool stuff. We've already done the interview.
It's time travel talk here. So.
And she is the founder of thejoyjunkie.com. We're going to talk about all that in a minute. She's in our era as far as like our generation, and she's about like our age, and so we just had a really good connection.
This is a terrific conversation. I know we say this to everyone when we hang up, but like we actually do need to have her back on because that was really, really good. I'm gonna go get her ebook tomorrow because – the stuff she talks about is very much things that are on the top of my head these days about things that I need to make sure I'm doing with my life. So,
right. Yeah.
Hey, don't just listen for our witty repartee, like stay. Don't let last week.
Hey, okay. So we talk about this at the beginning of the interview, but we are using Zoom from now on. Skype is terrible. And our tech guy, and I'm doing that in air quotes, Jim Bob, he was on.
Don't diminish him.
Well, he's because
like
he's not
in air quotes.
Well, because like we're not like paying him. He's just like our volunteer tech guy, making him sound like more formal than he is. But he was on a call with us for like 30 minutes to try to figure out this echo, and then like we couldn't figure it out. We switched it over to Zoom, and it seemed to be better. And so I hung up with Jim Bob. There's the echo, and then he texted me like here is a like he basically like I think he discovered the problem, and he just basically just Googled it. And I was like, well, I probably could have done that a long time ago.
Google, why?
Okay.
Why does it sound like I'm a truck stop guy?
Yeah, Google it, yeah. A couple of things, and we don't have very long. I want to get to the interview with Amy.
My remaining meeting time, it's not moving, so I think we're good.
Oh, okay. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was really, really good. I ate so much that when I went to go back to work today, I was down. I was forward one hole on my belt. I was like, "Oh crap!"
Well, what did you say? Like
things back in a condition, but man, I really
every bathroom was occupied this morning. Is that what you said?
That's how I knew that it was the weekend post Thanksgiving because every single men's room stall upstairs and downstairs in both buildings were completely full.
It's funny to think like if you were just like dropped into like a time and you didn't know like what day it was. That's,
if you time warped me into and like, all right, go ahead and do what you need to do. Well, I can go to the bathroom and go and see all that. That would be like, no, this must be couple days after Thanksgiving over here.
I was just like, you could tell, like, oh, it must be Christmas time, or oh, it's the summer, or the, you know, like, or you know, like all these different things, and like then it's like every no one's at their desk, and all this, you hear all the toilets flushing, like, oh, it's the day after Thanksgiving. Okay, so that was good. So did you stay in the Metroplex area? Did you, like, where did you go?
Yeah,
did you travel?
On Friday we went to my parents' farm, which is like an hour north of where we are. It's not quite, you wouldn't call it the Metroplex, but it's about an hour north of there. So we went there on Friday night and stayed, and I got to see my brother and their family and spent a lot of time, and it was good. Good times.
Did you do farm stuff?
No. Usually we'll do something out there, but we drove around. My dad has a Gator, which is like a golf cart for the farm, and we drove the kids around in it, but we didn't have any chickens to pluck. Is that a farm? Is that what you do on a farm? You have to pluck the chickens,
yes.
Or is that all you do right before you cook them?
Maybe.
I have chickens to pluck.
I was going
to. Like, you have to go out and. Okay, I think I've
you
found
have to kill them.
That what I said is ridiculous. I don't think you go out and just periodically
pluck the chickens. Like, you're shearing the sheep. You just, like, pluck the chickens, and, like, their feathers never grow back. And they're like, what? Why the heck did you just pluck us? For no reason. Get out of here. You're not a farmer. Bring us the real farmer.
But yeah, I didn't have like a heifer on a leash or anything like that out there.
I don't think that's what farmers do either. I don't think they.
That might be. I think you're wrong. I think I know a little bit more about farming than you do.
I mean, you imagine the farmer like, all right, it's Bessie's turn to go on a walk around the field.
She won't take a dump unless she's on a walk.
At the truck stop. Yeah. Oh, okay. So what is your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
Ooh.
Like, it can't just be like bacon wrapped bacon. Like, it's that, like, it has to be an actual traditional of those dishes.
Can I go dessert? Or
yeah.
Do you main core? Okay. Dessert. It's my Aunt Debbie makes this thing called Chocolate Delight. And I don't think it's a, she did, like, our family didn't create it. It's like a, some kind of like graham crackery crust with, like a layer of chocolate pudding, a layer of vanilla pudding, and then like a layer of Cool Whip, and it is ridiculous good.
I feel like pudding is a funny word.
That is a funny word.
Pudding.
It sounds like you would think it would, like, the consistency,
like,
of it.
Pudding.
Like, if you had pudding. Someone who didn't speak any English and you put a picture of pudding and then the word pudding, they would be like, oh, that looks
sense.
Like
or
that.
Or you would just sounds. Drop a picture of it and they would go, pudding.
Do that. I mean, it's not like
remember
disgusting.
That. Do you remember the Naked Gun movies?
Can I make a confession to you?
Oh my gosh.
I don't think I've ever seen any of them start to finish all the way through.
Rick, you got to do that.
I got a lot of stuff that I got to
do.
Yeah,
right, you do. Well,
that should be on the list, though. I do feel kind of embarrassed that
there's a scene about a guy is reading to distract people. He's like reading out of a love. A romance novel, and he uses the phrase love pudding, and me and Brad Jeff, my brothers, always say that, like, whenever there's pudding, we're like, ooh, love pudding. It's so gross.
Yikes.
Yeah. Well, we stayed here. Brad and Jeff and their whole families came out here, and we had a good time. I would say we had I think the sweet potatoes, because it's not like regular sweet potatoes, because you put like brown sugar and like pecans, and it's like, and like marshmallows sometimes on the sweet potatoes.
That's how Anna does it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a real big sweet potato person, but if you church it up with like a whole bunch of like just goofball stuff in there, I'll eat it.
When you say I'm not a real big sweet potato person, I imagine you like walking around like you're just a huge sweet potato. I'm not a real big sweet potato person. I'm just a normal sized sweet potato person.
It's not really all that funny. Back to the drawing board.
Back to the future.
Workshop that one a little bit.
Sorry, I didn't try that one out. Before I used it. I do have a funny new dad joke.
Okay.
That's my wife really knows how to hold a grudge, Rick.
Yeah.
A few days ago, she asked me to hand her a chapstick, and I accidentally handed her the super glue, and she hadn't spoken to me since. I spent a few weeks working at a yo-yo factory. It had its ups and downs. Yo-yo.
So
have you read Harry Potter?
We have Amy Smith on the show today, huh?
Yeah.
Real pleased with this.
So we finished Harry Potter.
Lead in. Okay, Jason, my oldest one, has read all the Harry Potter books. My youngest one is still a little too young to read them by himself, but I haven't read any. I don't have the time to read these books. I did this
sounds
with
like a
Game
cop
of Thrones,
out to me.
Like 5 years to read all of them. So I can't, I just right now I'm not in the place where I can pick up like a super long book series again, oh. But I wanted to read it at some point.
It's pretty great. And there's like, there's obviously, I'm not giving anything away. It's like you would expect the ending is like crazy and it's like mind blowing and all this stuff. And I'm so impressed with all the people that knew that I was reading it. I have never seen the movies and I've never read any of them. Pretty impressed that nobody gave it away. You know, it's like once you've read it, once you've read it and you've gone through all the crazy mind blowing stuff at the end, like what happens and how it all kind of ties together. It's like such a cool experience that you don't want to ruin it for anybody else by okay. like, blurting out something that would be like, oh,
like walking like, past the line of the theater at Return of the Jedi and Darth Vader's Luke Skywalker's father.
Right. Right. Ah. Yeah, exactly. Like there's not like in all these months that I've been reading, we started them like in March and we finished them on November 20th. We read the seventh book, which is like the second longest book. It was the fast. We read it in 13 days.
And so what was your, like, were you just pages. Like, hey, let's read until we're tired of reading?
No,
or was it like
so
a bedtime
if
like,
they, yeah, your... if they got ready for bed already, like where all they had to do is like turn the lights off, they're in bed. They've got their, all their little animals, whatever it is that they've got yeah. all the things they're going to do. If they could have all that done before 8, even if it was like 7:59 and 59 seconds, we would read a chapter, which typically would take like 20 to 25 minutes to read a chapter, like a, okay. On average. But then if, you know, if it's like 7:15 and they're ready, we could read a couple of chapters. And then if we're driving to the farm and doing farm stuff, that's like a 2-hour drive. So we would let Jim Dale read to us like there and back. That's like the guy who read the books and he has voices like these crazy. Awesome
excuse
voices.
Me. I'm sorry. You didn't read the books.
Well, you realize that Jim Dale reading them out loud to us is just the same as me reading them out loud to us.
So tell me what it felt like when you had the pages in between your fingers when you're changing them, they're turning the pages.
It felt pretty good.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sure.
So we it so, was like it was probably
what you meant by saying we read the books is that we read some of the books and other parts of the book we had someone read them
it was,
at us.
So they were so into it, and I guess I was too. Like we would drive, and their school is 2 miles from our house, and we would like they would want to start a chapter like you know that morning. And we could get halfway through a chapter, listening to it like time and a half, and then we would just you know instead of having to read 25 pages at night, we'd only have to read 12 pages to finish the chapter. You know, so. We would chip away like that, and it was probably 75-25, me reading 75, Jim Dale reading 25. Like I read the majority of it, but if like I was sick or something, like and I like my throat was sore or something, we'd let Jim Dale read to us. Now Hope is going back and rereading one of the books, and she is listening to the audiobook but following along in the book, which
okay.
is kind of interesting.
I'll allow that.
Yeah,
I'll allow.
But she, you know, because she's in second grade, so it's like she's. Yeah, so I just thought that was kind of cool. So if you haven't read Harry Potter, don't watch the movies.
My entire Harry Potter experience consists of 7 minutes of the very first movie. But when we were dating, Anna and I sat down to watch it, and there's something about an owl, and they were eating breakfast, and then that's it. I woke up like 4 hours later.
Oh, that's funny. Well, read Harry Potter. Okay, so we're going to do this now, and here is Amy. Okay, so while we were trying to figure out this, and this is Zoom. Everyone, if you use Skype, stop it. Stop using Skype.
What's the other company?
Health IQ. Don't use Health IQ for your life insurance, and don't use Skype for any calling reasons. We just use Zoom. Zoom is great, and it's free. And I'm super excited that we have Amy on, and Amy is the joy junkie. And so Amy E. Smith. What is the E? Guess the E, Rick.
Elizabeth.
I'm going to guess.
Are we going to do this now? Like guess every guest's
middle name. I'm going
to do. Addition to birthday.
I'm going
to
do Esmeralda.
Oh, that's
Mark, you're right.
Yes.
I'm kidding. Oh. Rick's right. Rick's actually right. Yeah.
It is. Dang, damn you.
Well, I'm also same generation as you guys, I believe. I'm 79.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm 80.
Yep. And pretty much everybody
named their kid Elizabeth.
Either Elizabeth or Murray. That, I mean, those were the middle names.
Right.
Definitely.
Jennifer was a very common name of our generation.
Heather.
Jennifer.
Yeah.
Heather. Yeah. Okay. So you said while we were trying to figure out Zoom and Skype and all that, you said you did some. Did some recon on us. Oh my gosh. I just heard an echo.
Oh, Mark.
I swear.
Stop it.
I swear.
I did. I heard it
too. I heard it too. It was like a shadow of an echo. It's all right.
Okay. What recon maybe did you do about us?
Maybe it's just God.
Seriously. God hates me.
Well, I think that if you say like, hey guys, can I be on your show? You should show up somewhat informed. I mean, I'm sure not everybody knows like how all like podcast pitching and how all that works and all of that. But I feel like, you know, be an educated guest, figure out what people are about. So Rick, I was telling Mark that I was hoping that I would get like a fart noise.
Well, listen, Mark read that to me right before he sent me this new link to the meeting. And so I was the third person to join in and I totally meant to greet you with a fart noise. Now I feel like the better plan is to kind of spring it on you, just kind of whatever feels like it.
That makes sense.
Make it feel more natural.
Well, so hold on. So I want you to do this. So this is like when you, Rick, you know the game where you ask the waitress how old you are. It's kind of that game.
Well,
so,
I'm sorry. What? I'm sorry. What?
What was that?
That's a game? You know
what? Not sometimes. And so, Amy, like break us down from a, like pretend like you're a psychologist, like assess what you know about me and Rick.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Yikes.
Well, I know that there might be sort of some underlying competition for the summer crush of MW. That could manifest in a working relationship, considering that was such a formidable year for the two.
Oh my gosh, that was.
Can I talk about how Mark wrote his name, like Mark? Yeah. Mark Rogers loves MW, like on the underside.
And then I scratched it out.
Yes. Let's see what else. I might be somewhat concerned about what Mark has been consuming lately due to the canker sore situation.
Oh, yeah. Well, I looked it up. Bacarum mucosa something. It's a disorder, and I have determined
Clearly, just made that up. Mark is having alphabet soup or alphabet cereal, and just scooped up a big spoonful.
I don't have any sores in my mouth, and I have not like anytime
add
I
add that to the bracket.
Anytime I start chewing my lip, like I just like I grit my teeth, and I'm like, no, I'm not gonna do that. I'm not, and I'm determined to stop treating the inside of my mouth
where are you going with that?
Like Jack the Ripper to all of his victims.
No, that's wow. Yeah, I thought you were gonna go OJ first.
You gotta stop treating the inside of my mouth like OJ treated Nicole.
Stop. Okay.
Okay. Sorry.
I was joking that you should make an OJ reference.
Okay.
Picked up on that.
Okay, so very quickly, Rick, let's get the birthday and let's get on with this thing. I'm going to guess, I feel like she's I feel like she's a Cancer. I'm going to say July 3rd.
You say?
Oh, do I say now?
Yes.
Or do you
say yes or no?
You just say yes or no.
Okay, no, no.
We each get two guesses. September 19th.
No.
June 21st.
No.
Dang it.
May 20th.
No, but so close.
I was. Okay, can I tell you something, Amy? We've done this, I don't know how many shows in a row, maybe 100, I'm not sure. I'm the only one who's done it, and I've done it twice.
What is it, Amy?
I did it the last time, the last recording we had. Are you serious?
Mark all pissed because Rick has to like talk about his wins. Yes. It's May 15th.
Oh, you, Rick.
Wow. Well, what?
Rick was telling a story, and I was like, yeah. Amy, what's your birthday? Okay. Yeah. So May 15th.
I have to ask you guys something really quick that I didn't ask prior to this. Do I need to watch my language?
Okay. I'm glad you said that because I love your website. And I texted Rick earlier. I said, you're going to love this girl because she uses your type of language.
liberally language with F words.
Yeah. And so I was going to say, our audience, we bleep. So feel free to talk. I'll make notes and go back and make little bleeping marks over it, but, or not, whatever. So whatever.
721.
You need the good ones too.
And then I have to bleep out when I say it.
Oh my god.
Okay. So,
all right, cool.
Let's tell your story. How did you get to where you are today? Like tell your story in a Cliff's Notes version.
All right. So I was kind of climbing up the corporate ladder with a prestige makeup brand. It, basically the whole working in a corporate arena, having all the fancy thinking that it was, you know, my life's work to be training and doing all these things. And essentially had a quarter life crisis, completely melted down, and knew that I wanted to be doing work that was highly impactful. I enjoyed the training element, but I wasn't exactly sure what that was going to look like. I ended up finding personal development and started going through coaching school and totally fell in love with the medium and realized that it was something that I could be this authentic version of myself, and I didn't have to put on some crazy persona, that I could be, you know, immersed in Tony Robbins or Rumi and still like whiskey and cuss like a sailor, and that was okay, and that could be kind of
awesome.
The breadth of who I am, right? So I fell in love with it, and then my specific niche now is really around helping people speak up for themselves, stand up for themselves. Things like saying no, boundaries, all of that sort of piece of the self-help bubble. And the way that really unfolded was similar to, I think, both of you. I grew up in a very conservative religious household. And my father had a master's of divinity and a doctorate in ministry. So he really wasn't messing around. And in 07, he passed away. And that day, which I basically, I actually now feel that it was very much a good fortune that I was able to be there with him as he passed. And the day of my father's service, of his funeral, my mom felt that it was well, let me backtrack really quick. I did his makeup for his viewing.
Oh, yikes. Bet that was difficult.
Yeah. So, you know, I feel like I kind of got some good daughter points that day.
Yeah.
And
yes.
I just did makeup on my father's corpse and spoke to a crowd of hundreds. I knew for sure that I wanted to speak at his service. So that exact day, get home to my mom's house, and she decides to tell me that she feels as though they failed as parents because myself and my two siblings weren't, quote, walking with the Lord.
Oh boy.
And where
do you fall in the sibling line? Are you the oldest, middle, youngest? What are you?
I'm the oldest.
And then what do you have?
I have two younger brothers, okay. And we're all 2.5 years spaced
okay,
apart.
Cool.
So 5 between myself and my youngest.
Yeah.
And they had, just for context, like I was the kid who was working since I was 14, like doing a checking all the boxes, right? Like right. I got married when I was 20 to my absolute soulmate who I've been with for gosh, like 21 years now. And, you know, got out of the house, paid for my own college, did all of that. Both of my brothers had kind of done jail time and had trouble with the law and, you know, didn't really go to school or do anything like that. And I felt like I was just dumped into that same pile by virtue of not ascribing to the same religious doctrine. And so in that moment, the only thing I could kind of muster to say to her was, you probably should not say that to a child. Yeah. Like, let me parent you. Couldn't say to a child. And she said, well, that's just how I feel. And that really was the point in my career where I transitioned from working primarily around relationships and helping people know how to make marriage work kind of thing, and shifted into finding your voice and actually being able to use it. And that was when I realized that there are some times that if I choose me, if it push comes to shove, and I have to make, it's an ultimatum, and I have to decide to either make you happy or make me happy, I choose me. And that was a really, really hard thing to learn. And at that moment, the next kind of piece of the trajectory was I became extremely combative, and I wanted to, I kind of got all emboldened and cavalier, and I wanted to argue, I wanted to debate. And up until that point, I had really cowered and twisted and contorted and put a very kind of facade forward to my mom and to my father when he was alive. And that really was the turning point when I went, you know, I'm done trying to tell my husband, like, please don't bring up anything liberal. Please don't cuss. Please, no South Park, no Howard Stern, no, don't say anything like that. Yeah. Don't tell them that we have alcohol in the house.
Man, it's like we live a very, we've lived a very similar, man, very, very similar existence.
I was just thinking that, Rick.
Yeah.
It parallels a lot of my experience. Maybe not quite as dramatic as yours, but I understand exactly what you're coming from here. And I spent some time, you know, this afternoon kind of perusing your website, and I was really hoping that we got the audio thing together tonight, because I really, really wanted to talk to you, because that's kind of some of the stuff that's been on my mind, you know, lately, the last couple of years, especially the last few months, is trying to do some of the things you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, we're not taught in any approximation to speak up for ourselves. You know, I mean, we have all sorts of little slang sayings like sweep it under the rug, or don't open up a can of worms, don't rock the boat. And all of that is code for just shut the fuck up and make everybody else's wants, needs, and opinions paramount to yours. And that's really the subconscious message that happens for us every time we choose to be quiet. Any woman out there who's been pregnant and didn't say, hey, dude, please don't touch my belly, like, gross, you know, like things like that, where we don't give voice to things that are really offensive to us. Like, please don't touch me. Or even like in-laws feeding your children things that you don't want them to consume.
Right. That's big.
You don't want to participate in. Yeah.
Do you know, like, Brene Brown? Are you Brene Brown?
Course.
Okay. Like, my wife is like,
you know who John Lennon is?
Well, hey, you'd be surprised, Rick. A lot of people don't know who Brene Brown is. It surprises me, actually. So my wife just drove to Austin last week, and like, just to hear her talk, it's like three and a half hours from here. And like, she just went, I was like, took a day off work and like went and just is like, be around her. And it's like, some of the stuff is kind of reminding me of like some of her books and things that my wife has been talking about, but like, where is the difference? And I totally agree with everything that you're saying, but what is the difference between, like, where's the balance between standing up for yourself and investing in like caring what people think about you, and then like being selfish, you know?
Yeah.
Like, where is that? How do you explain that to people?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. I actually have done a podcast specifically called Why I Think Selfish is the New Black, because I think that we glorify this idea of constant sacrifice. Uh-oh, now I'm hearing the God echo. Okay, now
I think it just happened just for a second.
What about? Is it so profound?
I hate the internet.
So I think that there's a huge fallacy out there that says if we speak up for ourselves, if we say no, if we establish a boundary, then that must mean we're an asshole. And what I like to say is, you're only being an asshole if you're actually being an asshole, if you're actually being malicious, if your intent is to hurt, if it's coming from a place of malice, then yeah, you probably should feel bad about it. You're being kind of a But if you're speaking up for yourself and you're coming from a place of love, from a place of impact, from a place of authenticity, transparency, you deliver whatever you need to say with grace and kindness, your side of the road is clear. So it's the ability to give voice to things in a really kind manner. And I think we miss that. We think assertive must equal mean. And that's really something that I am trying to debunk all the time in my work, that it doesn't have to be a collapse. And I do think there is something to what you're talking about, Mark, where I like to call it when self-help goes bad, where you get so empowered that you start throwing out, you know, personal development vernacular as a crutch.
Right. Yeah. And also there's a balance. my little squirrel brain just I read something that I just wrote and now I can't think of what I was gonna say. It was something about balancing something else. So we just talked about balancing selfish and
there's a difference between being assertive and being an a-hole. Like, how do you suggest, because I struggle with that sometimes, because not necessarily that I just want to please all people, but I also want to like get along with everyone. And I find the easier way is to sometimes just be like, maybe do something I don't necessarily want to do, or bite off more than I can chew at work or something like that. How do you suggest talking to people like that?
Yeah. All right. So this is sort of the nucleus of what I do, right? It's there's an internal piece, which is believing in your own value, believing in your own worth, how you speak to yourself in your own mind. And then there's the external piece of, now that I believe that my voice is worthy or valuable, now how do I actually communicate that to the world? So how do I tell my boss, hey, no, I can't take on that project? Like, what are the actual, what's the verbiage? What do I say? So if it's a situation like, let's say, a request for help or an invite, those two things are usually the ones that we have the hardest time saying no. If somebody invites me to something and I don't want to go to it, my first rule is, please do not lie. Don't say, oh, I have a Beyonce concert, if you don't. Don't make up some sort of lie.
Flying in Dallas this weekend. Oh, yeah, she's in my backyard. I booked her. She's going to be in my backyard. Don't come because you're not invited. You can't go.
That's why having kids is so great, because you can just be like, oh, my kid has this sick.
My kids have no idea how much I use them as an excuse to get out of stuff all the time. Oh, he's got a highlight match and we gotta get over there.
Well, here's what I like to, how I bring that back is, if you say that you value honesty and integrity, that is important to you in your world, then you can't go around lying about stuff like that. Even that. But to say, thank you so much for thinking of me, I so appreciate that. Unfortunately, I'm not able to make it, but please don't stop inviting me. You didn't make up a lie. You didn't make up an excuse. You've just said, hey, I'm not available.
Well, then when you post pictures of the thing that you went to and they see them and you're like, they're like, hey, well, I thought you were doing the thing. You don't have to like backtrack out of and try to navigate through that minefield of, oh, well, that was the thing that I thought that was.
Then it got canceled at the last second.
Yeah. Then you're just like, right. Yeah, I just don't want to go. I can't make it. Sorry. Yeah.
Or if it's an initiative, like at work, a boss asking for you to, can you take on this additional assignment or project or whatever, then I will a lot of times say, hey, you know, I so appreciate you turning to me. And I don't know if I'm being as clear about how intense the workload has been as of late. And I really, really, really want to come through for you. I am afraid that if I take this on, I won't make the deadline, or it just won't be up to par. It would mean the world to me if you would consider asking Mark to do it. Something like, you know,
Mark Rogers. He's an idiot. Sorry. Oh, nice.
That's what
We're
I thought her
lose our jobs. The stock market's going to crash.
That's what I thought her assessment of me was going to be at the beginning. She's like, well, what I've determined is Mark is a moron and Rick is very smart and a detective.
No, but I do love the dolphin laugh though. That makes me so happy. And I heard, and I would have loved to hear you guys splice in a little clip from Old School. I heard an Old School reference about Home Depot.
Yeah, that's true. I will use that one from time to time. Yeah. By the way, very quickly, not to derail you, but did you intentionally use a line from a John Mayer song at the very beginning of this when you said you had a quarter life crisis?
No, I didn't actually.
No, that was the thing. The only place I've ever heard that was John Mayer. And yes, I'm a John Mayer super fan.
Well, guess what? You're not soulmates, Rick. How about that?
No, I bought a book called The Quarter Life Crisis when I was in my early 20s.
Oh, maybe so. That's where John Mayer stole it from. So maybe John Mayer isn't all he's cracked up to be, is he, Rick?
Yeah, maybe he's a biter.
Yeah.
Listen here, guys. Don't you dare for 1 second to say anything bad about that sweet angel.
All right.
Okay, back. Okay. Oh, do you remember where you were before Rick derailed you? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
But I'll give you another example. So my obviously, as I've mentioned, my mom and I have differing of opinions about religion. So she would still, her intention being loving, and I'm sure that raising a child who doesn't have the same affinity towards, you know, what you brought them up with, I'm sure that's really hard and really challenging for her. So there's also a piece of me really having some compassion for her and what her plight is like, and also understanding that, and this is in a very polarized situation, and we're same way in politics as well. So she would still invite me to church. So instead of getting really pissed and really irritated with her, I would thank her for what I assumed her intention was, which was not of malice, right? So I would say, thank you so much for the invite. And I'm sure it's not at all your intention to push me away, but I truly feel like I am able to support you in your faith and whatever that looks like for you. And I would really appreciate the same in return. And so my request is that you let me tell you if I'm interested, and I would appreciate it if you didn't ask anymore. And that whole thing is uncomfortable, yes, but is it mean? Is it disrespectful? Is it rude? No. But what happens there for me on a subconscious level is I start to really nurture, and I have over many years now, nurture that belief that my wants, opinions, and needs matter just as much as hers does. And now we have a really great understanding of that. Unfortunately, because what we each hold so dear is in stark opposition, we kind of live sort of a superficial relationship. But what that means for both of us is neither one of us has to compromise who we are in order to make the other person happy. Right.
Yeah. So that kind of leads me like to this next thing I wanted to ask you about. It's what I forgot earlier. So it's like about picking your battles. Like when is it time to just kind of go, you know, like you see somebody with a yard sign that's maybe not what you like agree with. You're not going to knock on their door. You're just going to drive by that one. Right. So like where is the line between just going, you know what? Nothing I say or do is going to change this. So I'm just going to leave this one where it is. And then on the other side of that is, okay, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to fight on this one. Like, and I'm going to stand up here. Where is that balance?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. So I have a little phrase that I'll use to check in with myself, and I will ask myself in this situation, will my silence make me a liar? Meaning, if I don't speak up, do I appear complicit? I'll give you an example. I do community theater here and there, and I was doing a show, and there was a guy who I was doing a performance with, and he showed me an image on his phone that he thought was hilarious, but it was disparaging to a child who was both mentally and physically disabled.
Oh boy.
And to me, that doesn't constitute humor in any approximation. So the easy thing right then would have been to laugh it off and walk away.
Right.
And that would also have not been in integrity for me. So I felt like, okay, in that situation, my silence would have made me a liar. It would have made me look as though that was okay.
Right.
Now, it also doesn't mean that I need to get into a big old conversation. It just means I need to be vocal to keep my side of the road clean. So I said, hey, listen, I really don't find that funny. You know, you do you, but I would just really appreciate it if you didn't show me stuff like that in the future.
Well, now you set an expectation. So like, he's not going to come up to you, show you this other super offensive thing. Cause he's like, yeah, that's not really her. You know, I'm going to go to my other like super inappropriate and offensive friends and have these jokes. You know, so you've kind of set that boundary. So you're not having to constantly go, ha, 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 yeah, that's great. Like do the fake laugh thing over and over.
Man, that comes up so terribly often. I mean, maybe not really as much anymore because given my position now is a little bit more isolated and I don't see that many people, but, and I don't think I'm pulling the curtain back too far when I say there are racists in every position and there are racist librarians and racist accountants. Yeah. So I'm not judging the police industry as a whole, but like there's a whole lot of uncomfortable locker room talk and you know, joking and it's all in the spirit of trying to, you know, camaraderie or whatever, but a lot of it is really intensely distasteful for me, and I've spent the better part of a decade being like, oh yeah, 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 you know, yeah, that's a good one. And within probably like the last maybe 8 months or so, I was involved in a pretty like, you know, there's like 8 or 10 guys in this group text, and there was a lot of jokes that I didn't like. And I said something, and everyone's like, oh, well, you're going to get all butt hurt, which I hate that word. And I was like, you know what? I've said my piece. I'm not going to convince you otherwise. And so I just left the group chat. And every once in a while, they'll send me a text like, hey, we want you back because we like your jokes. I'm like, I'm not going to come back. But I mean, that's really the first time ever that I have ever figured out a way that, like, hey, it's not about like convincing them that it's offensive. It's about saying, I'm not comfortable with this. This is not what I want to do. I'm going to do me, and you do whatever you want to do, and I'm out of here.
That's right. That's right. Well, and what they did is what most people do when they've been called out, which is to defend. And I think you handled yourself brilliantly in not taking the bait.
That's right, Mark. And brilliantly. You hear that?
Shut up. She said I had a great question earlier.
I have so much power right now. I don't know
what to do. Yeah, she does.
Yeah, but even really simple commentary like, you know what, I don't really share that opinion. Or, hey guys, I'm going to leave the toxic masculinity to you and see myself out. You know, like you could.
Oh man, can you imagine how much all my friends at work would freak out if I used the term toxic masculinity?
It is a buzzword, my friends. Yeah. It is a buzzword.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think even it's a little different in a text thread, you know, but in person, just be like, you know what, I'm not actually on that same wavelength, so I don't find that funny. And you know, we have to ask ourselves why are we so afraid to give voice to something like that? And it really does come back to that primitive desire to fit in, to belong.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all seen, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. For primitive man, if you did not belong to the group, that meant death. And now we have, you know, conscious mind, and we're not operating just from, you know, our lizard brain, but we still have that desire, like, oh my gosh, if those people don't approve of me, I might die. Like, that's what's happening, you know, kind of beneath the surface. But if we unpack that a little bit and go, wait a minute, no, that's not what I stand for. And I don't want to be, you know, a punching bag, or I don't want people to think it's okay with me. And so you gotta do something that's a little bit uncomfortable, you know?
Yeah. Well, gosh, I can't believe this, but the little Zoom thing came up, and it's like, you are running out of time with your free thing. But before we go,
that how they said it, was it like a dialect, or was it an audio cue? I'm not sure how that.
You done there, Rick? You done?
Can I continue?
Can we finish?
Inside joke meant for three people.
Okay. So promote yourself. Tell everybody where to go. I know I'll have the Joy Junkie in the show notes, but talk about your books and just everything. Tell everybody where they can find you and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So my little corner of the internet is over at thejoyjunkie.com, and junkie is just JUNKIE.
Yes. Oh, like the cool junkies.
Right.
Yes. I don't know why people spell it with a Y. It like pisses me off.
Yeah,
I'm like,
stupid.
No. But and
I think junkie with a Y is someone who like collects junk.
Yeah.
I think junkie with an IE is either someone who likes heroin or other.
Crack. I didn't even think it was a real spelling. Oh, it is a real spelling.
Huh.
Oh yeah.
Oh it's wow.
Well, how about that? I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
Hey, listen.
I'm not a junkie. Okay, so thejoyjunkie.com, and then you're on, are you Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff? Is all that stuff at the website?
Yes, there's freebies on there, but on Insta is where I hang out the most.
Okay.
And my handle everywhere is thejoyjunkie. Super easy.
Cool. The Joy Junkie. Okay,
Books, right?
We have time. Oh yeah, talk about your books.
I have it's a free ebook, so it's completely available for anybody. And I think you might have to bleep me. It's called Stand Up For Yourself Without Being a
Oh, I saw that. Okay, cool. Yeah.
I don't know if that one's a...
Can I say... Well, the ultimate question is, if you're not going to bleep that, then that means I can say it all the time now.
No, I'm going to bleep it. Just because of that.
You know what, you guys? I should have just bleeped myself the whole way through.
No, like, you're fine.
And it's way harder than it sounds.
Yeah, it wasn't that many. Well, the only word that actually, that D word is the only word that has ever slipped past me. And it was when Rick was saying that his son said it. And I was like re-listening to the intro, and I was like, oh man, I mean, it's not a huge deal, but it's not like we're going to get fined by the Health IQ police or something. But we do have time for this.
The first time they ever did anything.
Yes.
We do have time for this. What is one thing that you enjoy about life or something you do to make life more enjoyable?
Whiskey.
Yes. Okay.
What is your favorite kind?
Okay. I'm about to impress you way more than Rick is.
Okay, so I heard.
Oh my gosh. Okay, let me preface this here real quick, Amy. Mark read a book about scotch once.
Two books.
And then started to like tell me all the and but I was like, hey Mark, all my like brown drink experience didn't come out of a book. It came out of the bottom of a glass.
Yeah.
So Mark has read a book about it, and I have consumed in my
Amy,
prior drinking days. Amy, thousands of gallons.
Let me tell you something about Rick. He just said I read a book about scotch, which is funny because I read a book about whiskey. Scotch is a type of whiskey, of which there are five types of scotch.
I'm Mark Rogers. I'm reading the Wikipedia page for whiskey. I heard somewhere it tastes really good, but I'm allergic to it, so I just
I drink it out of like a dropper. like a mouse.
Okay, what is your favorite?
Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely not a connoisseur. I really do prefer scotch, though, as opposed to like bourbon. But my go-to is Jameson, even though that's an Irish.
Yes, very good. Triple distilled. Yeah. Rick didn't even know that.
I didn't know that. I've triple distilled it.
with your liver.
That's kind of my daily, but not daily. My weekly, I guess I should say.
So how do you drink it?
With my mouth. That's my answer.
I pour it into the back of my throat.
With a glass. With a really awesome glass.
No, like with ice or neat or what?
I really like those giant, we have like those giant square ice cubes.
Okay, so they're ice. They're not the stones.
No, because those don't stay cold.
Right.
My book, there was something about surface area of ice cubes. ask you.
Shut up. All right. So Jameson on the rock.
The rock. Yeah. No, I usually do have it with like a ginger ale or something like that.
Cool.
But yeah, I'm not a. No, that actually wasn't going to be my real answer. I was just trying to be really funny.
Oh.
Judging by the silence that you guys had after I said that, I don't think it was that.
said what? The whiskey thing?
Yeah.
No, because we were like, oh, yes. Okay, now we're going to talk to her about whiskey.
I can make foot of Mark for like the next 5 minutes. It's gonna be great.
No, that was great. Okay, so if you had to answer something else, what would it be?
It would definitely be monitoring my self-talk, for sure.
Okay.
And, I mean, that really, I feel like when people ask me, you know, what's the one tool or the one thing that I can do to change, it is by and large how you speak to yourself in your own mind. Because that's 24/7. It doesn't matter if you're reading a book a little bit during the day or listening to a podcast. That is what is dictating your entire reality. So that I feel is something that I have to be extremely vigilant about. And I can tell really, really quickly if I'm derailed or off course. So cool. Yeah, lots of telling myself how amazing I am.
Awesome. Well, that is good. Well, you are amazing. So how about that? So
this was a really, really, really fun interview. It was way better than the one last week.
And it sounds way better. And there was only like two God echoes and in Zoom.
Talk about how essential oils can cure cancer.
Shut up.
And all that kind of stuff.
Okay, so gosh, I'm gonna have to bleep that.
No, you don't. You don't have to bleep it at all. Everyone's thinking the exact same thing. That last
okay. Well, Amy, this has been awesome. I will email your folks whenever this goes up. Yeah. I'm hoping it'll actually, in all honesty, I'm being honest with you, I'm not going to set up a false expectation. It's going to be Monday probably because I'm going hunting this weekend, and I'm not going to have it up by Friday. I just know that. So there's a very small chance that'll happen. But I will email you guys the link when it goes out. So this has been awesome. Thank you so much for doing this and for being flexible with the format and all that stuff. So you're awesome, and we will talk to you soon.
Can I get a fart noise though, really quick before I go?
Rick.
That was actually Mark. He was doing it for real.
We should play here one of Jack's farts.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man. You should go back and listen to the Man Without a Pancreas episode. And yeah, so that's interesting. So how does this work? Do you just hit leave meeting now? Is that how that works?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, Rick and I are going to stay on and record the intro now, but I guess you can just... I guess you can
show
just,
yourself out, madam.
I guess you could just leave. I don't like that.
I said good day, ma'am.
That is the second time you've called me madam. That has never happened in a podcast.
Hey, would you like to know something? That's something that's in my everyday vernacular, and I can't get it out. I don't know how it started, but I've had several people in my life, good morning, madam, and they're like, and they will laugh. So I've kept it, but yeah, I don't know why that is.
And I can actually remove you, which I feel like is better than me asking you to remove yourself. So I'm going to... going to remove you. That also sounds terrible. I'm going to let you go back to your life now and go to bed. How about that?
Okay. Bye, guys.
All right. See you soon. Bye.
You're listening to the Simply Human Podcast.
All right. That was awesome. Amy is great. And go to her website, check out all her stuff, and follow her on Instagram, all that good stuff. And thank you for listening.
What's the handle again?
The Joy Junkie. And Junkie is an I-E, J-U-N-K-I-E.
The joy
junkie. She's awesome. So that's it. We've got some stuff coming up. I just scheduled an interview for January 14th. So we're booked out past the new year, and we're going to use Zoom from now on, I guess. So I guess that's going to do it for this edition of the Simply Human Podcast.
And remember,
or not, whatever. So whatever. 7:21.
Even the good ones.
So until next time, enjoy yourself.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.